This is the User Adoption Podcast with your host, Henrik Dagir.
Who are you and what do you do?
Hello, I'm Julia and I come from Denmark and I work for a large multinational company within the renewables energy sector and I work in IT department. Even though my academic background is actually not IT, but I have a master's in marketing and business innovation. But I have been in IT for quite some time, and I really enjoy working at the intersection of IT and business. Officially, I'm a user engagement specialist, and my main focus is on managing the user communities that we have within our organization. And those user communities are basically the users for our core applications that we use in our company. And my main role is to make sure we have the knowledgeable users and that they are adequately trained and they know how to use our applications and what for. Normally, my working time is split between conceptualizing governance principles for our user communities and managing involved stakeholders. That is more or less making sure that our whole organization knows how to use these communities, how we benefit from these user communities, and of course, how to set up these communities and how to run them. And this is more like, let's say, strategic boring part of it. And on the more operational, and I would like to say more fun part, my activities range from keeping tabs on how many super users we have in our communities and how well they perform. Do they need more training? Do they need more coaching? Do they need more people in the communities? And also I consult and coach my colleagues in how to set up and run such communities. And my personal favorite is training. So I also design and perform trainings for our super users. And as I'm actually located in Denmark, we also spend quite some time eating cake in the office. That's our little tradition, so to say.
Julia, how are you involved with user adoption?
My primary task is the management of the user communities. And what I work is, I work on the setup, maintenance, and improvement on these super user communities for our core applications. And the premise and what we believe in is if we have very strong and qualified super users, they will act as a backbone for the rest of the users within our company, meaning that they will make sure that the regular users, the regular employees that are not so IT savvy, that they can get support very quickly. They can get trained on the job in both how to use the application and how to understand the underlying business processes. And that will ensure that our applications, firstly, are used, which is very important, but also that they are used in the right way. So we believe that if these communities of super users are set up and equipped properly, it can decrease the stress that is usually associated with the introduction of new technologies and introduction of new applications. And that will also improve the user adoption at the end. From the practice in our organization, we have seen that when we had a user community set up, for example, for SAP, a very huge enterprise tool, we have seen the results that the user adoption rates have been very high, and almost the whole organization was using the SAP. But, for example, we had a release of another enterprise-wide solution where we didn't have such a super user community at the go-live. And afterwards, when we were researching how the application was working, and we were performing user research, we could find that the adoption rate was really low. So the number of users that were using the solution was low, and not even talking about how well they knew the application. So here you could talk about, I like to call it maybe the breadth and the depth of the user adoption, meaning that how many people use your application and how well they know the functionalities. And in our case, we found out that not only very few employees were using the application, but they also were using only a fraction of what the application was capable of. So the tool was designed to be sort of a backbone for our business. But most of the employees were using it as a search engine for documentation or a storage file, storage place for documentation. And that was very unfortunate because what was done is it was a big project and the tool was very capable, so to say, but the people were only using a very small part of the application. So we could say that our return on investment in this case was very, very low. And what actually also happened and what we saw from the other findings is that if we had had the super user community established at the go live, then our user adoption rates could have been higher and many more people could have been be using the application, and they would also know in depth what kind of functionalities are there that they can use. And my job is basically to make sure that no other major tool in our organization is released without having such a user community. I like to call myself a user experience enthusiast or champion. So I also try to always include tools that I can find within the discipline of the user experience and apply them in my work to make sure that we have the users that are happy to work with our tools. And user experience, in my opinion, goes hand in hand with the user adoption, because if we have users that have terrible experience with our tools, with our technology, I don't think we can accept them to continue using what we provide.
Julia, what are the biggest challenges and successes with user adoption?
The biggest success is to grab attention of key people. So nowadays, there are so many different sources of information and so much information is fighting for our attention that it's very, very difficult to make sure that people hear you. And in the context of a corporate environment, when we launching some kind of new tools, it's very important that we can grab and keep the attention of the key people in our organization and also make them the champions of our tool. And I'm not only talking about the big bosses that would tell the employees about the big picture or about the why we are using new tools or why we are introducing new tools, but it's also very important to have the regular employees on your side and to have the regular employees or regular users to be interested in your new tool, to be a part of the design process and to become the spokespeople for your tool. So I really believe that if you are able to form this network of, let's say, champions, then you are halfway there. So if you really have this network of people that know about your tool and are ready to talk about it in a positive aspect, then you are doing the right job. And they will be the platform for the storytelling and making sure that all the other users, they understand why we have this new technology and how this new technology will benefit them. And it is extremely important that these questions are answered to the users and that the users understand the big why behind the tool and that they also know how this tool will help them with their daily tasks. And they need to hear that from a very credible source, I would say. As for challenges, there are there are so many. I don't even know where to start. But I think the classic one and like the biggest one is the change resistance. And especially in the corporate environment, I think it's very common. We have so many employees that they just want to keep the status quo. They just want to do their job like they used to do it 10 days ago, 10 years ago, maybe even. They just want to do their job and they want to keep the business running. They don't have the time for your new cool tool, fancy tool that will be doing something else. And most of the time, in the corporate environment at least, I think announcing the new technology, announcing that the new application is coming, sometimes is not easy, and it also can cause negative wave because people just want to be left alone. They want to do their job and they don't want to learn about some kind of new tools. And I think this is where we lose a lot of people. And this is where the cause of low user adoption rates maybe is starting. So I think it's extremely important to make sure that this resistance can be overcome. Among some other, I think, other challenges, I could also mention that communication is not always very clear. Users not always actually understand why the new tool is introduced, why they need to use it, how it will make their life easier. What they see usually is just, okay, this is a new tool. This is extra work for me. So I'm not going to spend time because I have other things to do, more important things to do than learning a new tool. And if we talk about learning, I think also the topic of the training is extremely important. And this is where the training should be approached in a very discreet manner, I would say, because you cannot train people too early, you cannot train them too late. You have to really time the training and make sure that you provide that information to the people when they are ready. And that is more or less when they are supposed to use the tool. So those three, maybe I would call the biggest challenges, like the change resistance, the lack of communication, and the untimely training.
Julia, what advice would you like to share with people working on improving user adoption?
I won't be original probably here, but I'd say post your users first. I mean, there are many different user adoption strategies you can choose from, but I think if you put the user in the center of it and you really do that within your practical work, you don't just say it or you don't just put it on the PowerPoint slide, but you really work on it, then I'd say that will be bringing you very, very, very close to success. And it kind of might seem obvious because if we're talking about user adoption, of course, users are important. But what we see in a corporate environment, like very often, is that the focus is a little bit shifted to fitting the budget, closing the launch project on time, or satisfying the management. So the user is not always in the center of it. But what's happening after the go live, after the application and technology is released, is that somebody has to use it. And if nobody is using it, then who cares about that technology, so to say? Make sure that the users are actually in the center of your attention while you are preparing the new technology, the new application. And that technology has to fit their needs. And the users also have to see the benefits of learning the new tool. And they need to see that the efforts that they are going to put into making this change, making this transition, will offset the costs. And I mean, nobody actually likes the change, even though we kind of try to say always that that we must change in this dynamic world. But on the very basic level, humans are programmed to avoid change and avoid risk to survive. So organizational change management and putting the users in the center is very important when you are implementing new technology. And from my perspective, I would say that, and some very IT techie people might argue with me, but I would say from the user perspective, the technology is secondary. What comes first is making sure that the technology delivers good user experience and that technology is fitting the needs of the users. So if you really put the user in the center, and if you really spend time getting to know your user and getting to know what they need, what kind of issues they have, what kind of tasks they have, and then you can deliver a solution for them that will solve their issues, solve their working tasks in efficient manner, and while also delivering positive experience, then the technology can be, I don't know, secondary or third to the best, if you know what I mean. So what I usually like to do is to really make sure that for a specific technology or specific tool, we know who our users are. And a great tool that helps me in there is creating user personas, for example. And that tool basically allows you to stop looking at your users as a gray mass, but to develop and understand what kind of different types of users you have, what kind of habits they have, what kind of motivations they have, what is their background. And then once you understand what kind of user types you are designing for, then it's very easy to make sure that what you provide to the users is appealing to them. And if that is appealing to them and that is satisfying their needs, another tool that I also use is user journey maps, and that basically allows you to understand what kind of tasks and steps the users are going through in their daily life. And I also think that if you really know what they're doing, the users, on the daily basis, so what is your, I don't know, project manager doing when he is interacting with your software or with your application, then you will be able to deliver to that type of user exactly what he needs. And then the user will find the value in your tool. If they don't need to search for it, they will, so to say, adopt the technology very fast if it's easy and delivers the good user experience for them. So, yeah, to sum up, really, really get to know your users, because those are the people that will break or make the deal for you in terms of user adoption and whether your technology is successful.
Julia, where can we learn more about user adoption and your work on the subject?
As for my work on the subject, as I work for a private company, it's, you can't really learn more than I'm telling you here in this interview, unless we talk privately. But the source maybe that I would like to share here with people that are interested in user adoption or user experience as a whole discipline is the Interaction Design Foundation, which is basically an online educational platform within the discipline. And there you can find a lot of information on topics like user experience design, also user adoption, I believe. And you can both read articles and books that are available there, but you can also take a lot of courses and get certification within this discipline. So I think that's a great platform for anyone who would like to learn more about these topics.
Well, thanks, Julia.
For more on this, visit useradoptionpodcast.com. Don't forget to please subscribe, rate, and review. And for a book about this, check out useradoptionbook.com. Tune in next week for the next episode. Thanks for listening.